Okay, we have been looking at the pastoral epistles. We finished 1 Timothy, and now we're on 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, this comes a few years after the first one, and it's Paul kind of reiterating what he had told Timothy before and strengthening what he sees that may need to be strengthened. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This is now has been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you. This you know, all those in Asia have turned away from me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtained mercy from him on that day, and you know very well how much he ministered in Ephesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us as we study it. Go with us throughout our days and help us to be good Christians and to teach people to be what they need to be and to follow your rules. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this actually comes before Titus, which we're going to have when we get done with this, but we always do the two Timothys together. So Paul starts off by thanking God for Timothy. He calls him his beloved son. And one of the reasons for this, of course, is Paul didn't have any real sons, and Timothy's father was a Greek non-believer, and actually we have information that he may have given Timothy a hard time about it. Paul really wants to visit, but he hasn't gotten out of Rome yet. Timothy was led to Jesus by his grandmother and mother. This is why I actually have a standard Mother's Day sermon based on that part of this chapter, because here we have this wonderful man who was a great assistant to Paul, and he came to Christ through the ministry of two ladies. Paul encourages him to use the gift of preaching to the fullest. One of the things that Paul says in many places around the New Testament is that Timothy was a great preacher. Now, once again, we hear that he may have been kind of timid about it, but he knew the Word of God, and he knew the truth of the gospel. He knew as much about how the Old Testament related to what Jesus had said when he came as Paul did. God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power. One of the greatest examples of this, there was a guy named R.G. Lee. Now, Dr. R.G. Lee was president of Southern Baptist Convention for a period long ago, but he is a famous preacher. Almost all of the senior people in the Southern Baptist Convention would know R.G. Lee. We're often taught to study R.G. Lee and his sermons if we want to be good at this. And I have a friend who had said at one point that he went to hear Dr. Lee when Dr. Lee was doing a tour after he had been retired from actually being a pastor and all this kind of stuff. And he said when he got up there, he was very kind of low power, you know, and is thinking, I'm wondering if I can get through, if you'll be able to get through this or not. But he said the longer he preached, the more he seemed to just rise up and get bigger almost. I mean, he's a very little guy. But he said, before long, we're thinking, will we ever get him stopped? Because the power of God had taken over. And that's what Paul is talking about here. You don't have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power. And when you begin to preach, and I have experienced this, I have had this happen, where I started out, and I'm not really feeling like I'm preaching very well, but the longer it went, the more of the power of the Holy Spirit came in. And I felt like, and when I was done, it was like the Lord's get, oh, Walter, you did good, boy. Just keep listening. He says to Timothy, do not be ashamed. That was our last little song that Pat put in specifically because of this. People didn't want to stand up for Jesus Christ. Now, some of that was because the Romans tried to kill him. Some of them were in a place where they could get away with it, but they thought, oh, people will look down on me. He has, in that song, there was a lot of the excuses that people, it's not excuses that the people use to not preach, it's reasoning that the people would try to give why you shouldn't. It's not the right time. You know, we don't really want to hear it. Whatever. One thing he's saying is, don't be ashamed of me. The fact that I'm in prison. All you have to do is tell people why I'm in prison. Okay? We weren't ashamed of Andrew Brunson, who was in prison in Turkey, because he was put in prison in Turkey for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were very proud of him. Okay? So don't be ashamed because of being prisoners. You know, what are you going to do if they make Christianity a criminal offense? Well, I guess I'm going to be a criminal, because I'm not going to stop till they kill me. He says they have a holy calling. We have been called to tell about Jesus. You look in Acts, particularly in Acts 4 and 5, and here we have the disciples and the Sanhedrin and the people with all the power are telling them, shut up. We don't want you preaching in this name. And Peter looks them square in the eyes and says, okay, you tell me. Should I listen to you or should I listen to God himself? And this wonderful, intelligent preacher, Gamaliel, doesn't say what happened to him, but I often hope that he came to Jesus because he had good sense. And he said, if we interfere with these people and it turns out it's God, we're fighting against God. How do you think that's going to turn out for us? Right? Jesus has abolished death and brought life. What do you want here, guys? I mean, we have a message for people that they need to hear, and a lot of people really want to hear. They want to hear that there is hope. We have a lot of people. One of the greatest subjects of sermon to bikers is that you can be reconciled to God. I have a friend, I just had an encounter with him not long ago, and he literally told Pat and I both, if I come into your church, it'll catch fire. You know, I've lived my life in such a manner that God would not allow me in his church. And I keep telling him that's not the truth, but he won't believe me. I hear time and again from bikers telling me, God wouldn't want me. I've done too many bad things. God wouldn't want me. And I always tell him, look, Jesus came to save people who need saving. You just told me you need saving. That's what he came for. That's what he died for. You need to give him a shot. Paul was appointed a herald of this, and so was Timothy. Paul went out and he spread the gospel to the Gentiles. He comes upon Timothy, who's half Greek and half Jew, and he teaches him to be a Jew so that he can preach to the Jews if necessary. Most of the places they would go and preach were in Jewish synagogues. But he also teaches him the truth of the gospel so he can go preach to the Gentiles. Now, the fact that Christianity went to the Gentiles is what really makes the Jews mad at us. Because in order to accept what happened, they have to admit that the Jews missed the Messiah. They don't want to do that. But when they figure it out, a Jewish Christian is the hardest one to dissuade ever, because they look at it and they say, my Lord, I missed it. I have to get right with God because of this. And they go to him very calmly, humbly, and they ask for forgiveness, and they get it, and they know that they have found. I keep telling everybody, Christianity is nothing but a sect of Judaism. We are simply the ones who believe Jesus is the Son of God. And we have messianic congregations who are totally Jewish, except that they believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul says he's not ashamed of any of this, and Timothy should not be ashamed either. He should be ready to go out and tell the truth to people who need it, even if they don't want to hear it. And then he tells him, you need to be loyal to the faith. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching. The Bible tells you what the truth is. You need to preach that. Well, it doesn't seem appropriate at this time. It's always appropriate. It's the truth. Tom Skinner once said, all truth is God's truth, no matter who says it. Paul says, I taught you this. I taught you the sound doctrine. Timothy was entrusted with the responsibility of sharing the gospel in the area of Ephesus. This was not an easy place to be sharing the gospel. But Paul had gotten it started. He had gotten a church going, and he left Timothy there. And Timothy built it into a great, large church, to the point where in Revelation, that's one of the seven churches of Asia Minor that Jesus wants to talk about. And he tells them, okay, I'm very proud of what you've done, but you need to hold on to sound doctrine. When John actually got off of Patmos and went back, he went to Ephesus. That was his headquarters. Ephesus, as built by Timothy, was this great church. Everybody in the province of Asia had turned away from Paul. Now, the province of Asia, when you see that in the Bible, they're basically talking about Turkey and a little bit farther over. Today, it would be Turkey and Armenia, and the Turks will swear that Armenia has never been a part. Whatever, you know, they got a thing going about that. But the province of Asia, people were not listening to the truth. Now, obviously not everybody, because there was these churches that were in Asia Minor, and they showed up in the book of Revelation, but it seemed like everybody had turned away from him. So many of the people who had supported him had just dropped him like a hot rock because, oh, he's a prisoner now, or, oh, he's not preaching the way I wanted to preach, or whatever. It doesn't mean they turned away from Jesus. It just means that they turned away from Paul. Onesimus, on the other hand, was loyal even to following Paul to Rome to take care of him. And you know that the Lord must have rewarded him for this. So what does this all mean to us? First of all, we should be thankful for faithful servants. There are people out there preaching the Word of God. Greg Laurie, Billy Graham, he's gone to be with Jesus and got his reward. But all these years of Billy Graham going around and preaching the Word of God, and God gave him success because he faithfully preached the truth. I often think of Adrian Rogers, who for about 9 months was my pastor in Florida. Then he went on to Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He was the president of he's referred to by the Southern Baptists as the Prince of Preachers. He has huge numbers of books that he wrote on things that other Southern Baptist people did not write on. And he wrote this one wonderful book that I just absolutely love. I have a whole series of sermons on it that's called What Every Christian Ought to Know. And this is the book that you could just hand a new Christian and say, read this. Okay, if you get this down pat, you're good to go, bud. We should never be ashamed of the gospel or those who preach it. More than once, I've had people give me a hard time and say, oh, as a preacher, and then all of a sudden, somebody that I didn't expect would jump up and go, don't start in on Walt. Okay? I was at a rally in Winthrop, first one I ever went to with the Hog Group. And I had, as I do still, Jesus is Lord across my shoulders. And at that time, I was with Black Sheep Harley Davidson's for Christ. And this guy came up, and he just started ragging on me. And I'm backing away. I'm going, I don't want to get in a fight with this guy. What's going on? And the next thing I knew, four guys from the Harley Owners Group have shown up. They're poking this guy in the chest, and they're going, that's Walt. That's who he is. That's who he always is. Leave him alone, or you get us. Right? And I'm going, whoa, maybe I have had an effect on these guys. Never be ashamed of the gospel. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to call you names. Maybe they'll beat you up. Maybe whatever. I mean, I'm old now. It won't take long for them to beat me up. It ought to be over pretty quickly. We must always hold tight to the true doctrine. The truth And if you don't know what to think about something, then you ask people who do know the truth about it. Pat, me, there are people who have studied the Word of God and know what the truth is and will explain it to you. And we must always be loyal to the church. And I don't mean the local church. I mean the universal church, the Church of Jesus Christ. What Jesus left behind when he went to heaven and what he's coming back to take when it all ends, we must be loyal to that. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be loyal to bad doctrine. But there's an awful lot of doctrine that is irrelevant. People get in, like I've told you before, people get into all these arguments about premillennial, postmillennial. Are we in the millennium? What about this? Let that sort itself out. It doesn't matter. Okay? How do you get saved? That's important. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us in all we do. Help us to be good servants. Help us to tell the truth about you to everybody we encountered. Go with us. Give us the boldness and the strength to do what you want from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.